بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. رواه البخاري. Before beginning this new hadith in this chapter, فضل قراءة القرآن, the virtue of the recitation of Quran, to complete the hadith which we mentioned yesterday, in which great ajr and reward, fadail and virtues, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed us with regards to recitation of Quran, acquiring the knowledge of Quran, and particularly with emphasis on Surah Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, as we find in the hadith which Imam Nawawi rahimullah mentioned, the narrator Nawas bin Sam'an radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Qur'an will come in a physical form on the Day of Judgment, which will be preceded specifically by Suratul Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, tuhajjan an sahibihima, and it will argue on behalf of its adherent, the one who had created a deep and abiding attachment with the Qur'an. Just to go through the hadith again, Abdullah bin Buraida narrates from his father that we were sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I heard him saying, learn Surah Baqarah, for verily to acquire its knowledge is a great blessing. To abandon it will be a source of regret. The sorcerers and your enemies that consign or that work together to harm you cannot withstand the defense of this surah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became silent, and then he said again, acquire the knowledge of Surah Baqarah, and this time he added Surah Al-Imran, because they are the two radiant ones. They will shade their adherent on the Day of Judgment like two clouds or two canopies, or like flocks of birds that are in ranks. And the Quran will come before its adherent on the Day of Judgment, when he is raised up from the grave like a handsome and shining man, and will say to him, do you not recognize me? This person will say, no, I don't recognize you. Then the Quran will say, I am your companion that would cause you to fast during the day. In other words, cause you to remain hungry in the excessive heat of the day. I would cause you to remain awake at night, and every trader should receive the reward and the profit of his financial endeavors. So, in exchange for the hardship that you endured because of me in the world, the hunger and the lack of sleep, in keeping me alive and in adhering to my principles, this person will be given kingdom or dignity. He will be given kingdom in his right hand, a life of perpetuity in his left hand. A crown of dignity will be placed upon his head. And not only him, this is up to this point we mentioned yesterday, وَيُكْسَى وَالِدَاهُ حُلَّتَيْنِ لَا يَقُومُ لَهُمَ الدُّنْيَا لَهُمَا أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا. The parents of the one who devoted his life to the Qur'an will be given a set of two clothing, the value of which is such that nothing in this world can compare to it. They will say, بِمَا كُسِينَا هَذَا. How is it that we were given this to wear? It will be said to them, بِأَخْذِ وَلَدِكُمَ الْقُرْآنِ. This is a remuneration, a reward, an acknowledgement of the fact that you devoted your child to the Qur'an. So, university degrees, PhDs, all this is in its place. This shauk and inclination, and sometimes dua that parents make that their children should succeed in acquiring worldly degrees, that there's nothing wrong with that. We have to understand that, keep things in proportion. All the degrees of the world are only going to benefit you in the world. It's a financial necessity of life. It's not the object. Your and my purpose in this world, the object is to acquire the ta'alluq and relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Our object and purpose is deen. So the intelligent parent will be more concerned of the deeni development of his child than the worldly development. And this concern, the sacrifice that goes along with it, will not go in vain. Allah will reward those parents tremendously, as we can see, that they will be given clothing to wear, the like of which nothing in this world can compare. And it will be said on that day, on the day of judgment, بِأَخْذِ وَلَدِكُمَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah is giving you this because of the sacrifice that you made to ensure that your child attached himself with the Qur'an. Then it will be said to Sahib al-Qur'an. And I mentioned this a few times already, that these virtues are not only for memorizing the Qur'an or reading the Qur'an. What it is for is to practice upon the Qur'an and acquire the knowledge and understanding of the Qur'an. Then you are Sahib al-Qur'an. So it will be said to that person, Iqra, read now, was'ad, and rise up, fi darajil jannah, in the ranks of jannah, wa ghurafiha, and in the palaces of jannat, or the rooms of jannat, fahuwa fi su'udin ma dama yaqra'u, haddan kana aw tartila. Rasulullah ﷺ said, the recite, the adherent of the Qur'an will start reading, and he will start rising and rising and rising. And this will continue regardless of whether his recitation is quick recitation or slowly pondering. Busiri rahimahullah, who is a muhaddith, says, Rijaluhu thiqat, the narrators of this hadith, the chain of narration, the narrators are reliable and authentic. This last part, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he encouraged us to make dua for Jannat, we find that this is there in the hadith. He said, don't just ask Allah for Jannat. Salullah al-Firdaus al-A'la. Ask Allah for Firdaus. Ask Allah for the highest Jannat, not just Jannat. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaha jinan. He said, it is not one jannah. There are many, many jannahs. What is meant? Many ranks, many degrees, many heights in jannah. Wa innal firdaus al-a'la. And the highest jannah is firdaus. So when you ask Allah for jannah. Ask Allah for jannatul firdaus. Now this point the scholars of hadith have raised, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaha jinan, many jannats, in other words, many ranks in jannah. How many ranks? How many? For example, when it comes to the doors of jannah, it is mentioned in hadith there are 8 doors. When it comes to doors of jahannam, it's mentioned that there are 7 doors to jahannam, 8 doors to jannah. So doors are 8. How many ranks in jannah? How many degrees? How high does jannah go? This, there isn't specific mention in hadith that so many, but scholars deduce from ahadith like this, that Sahib al-Quran, the adherent of the Quran, will be said, Iqra wartaqi, fa'inna manzilataka in the akhir ayatin taqra'uha. Read the Quran that which you have memorized, that Quran which you have acquired, that Qur'an which you have learned, that Qur'an which you have practiced upon, and start rising. How high? Your position or your status in Jannat will be the last verse that you can recite. So, according to the differences of opinion, there are plus minus 6,600 or more than 6,000 ayats in the Qur'an. So, some scholars say that the ranks of Jannat are more than 6,000 because we find in hadith that for each ayat that you read, you're going to go one higher, and then one higher, and then one higher, and then one higher. And inna manzilataka, your actual home will be the last ayat that you reach. So they deduce from that that there are more than 6,000 ranks in Jannat, dependent on the number of verses in the Quran. So this is the type of reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Now what is the word object of this? When we listen to this, for the shock, for the inclination to be created within us, to develop this attachment with Qur'an. Daily recitation of the Qur'an, daily sitting in the halaqa of Qur'an, daily acquiring the knowledge of Qur'an, our halaqa of ta'aleem, etc. To have this shock and inclination. The next hadith, Uthman bin Affan, Dhun-Nurayn radiyallahu anhu, narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you, the best amongst you is the one who will learn and teach the Qur'an. He is the best amongst you. We find that in this narration of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Bukhari Sharif, the effect, like I said, you hear the virtue, what does that, how is that virtue implemented in our lives? How do we practice upon it? What type of inclination does it create within us? So we find a beautiful example of this, that the narrator in this chain of narration which is mentioned from Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is Abu Abdurrahman As-Sulami rahimahullah. He was a qari, reciter and teacher of the Qur'an. He disseminated the knowledge of the Qur'an in the Jamia Masjid of Kufa for 40 years. For more than 40 years he taught Qur'an in the masjid. And he would say to his students that if you want to know why I am here, why I am sitting here, I could be in a bazaar, I could be in a marketplace, I could be earning dunya, I could be enriching myself in this world. What has caused me to sit in this masjid for 40 years, day and night, and teach the Qur'an? It is this saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best amongst you is he who will learn and teach the Qur'an. We find that, ulama explained, they say, إِذَا كَانَ خَيْرُ الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. When the best speech is Kalamullah, when there is nothing, when there is no utterance that you can utter, that is more valuable and more virtuous than the Kalam of Allah, then likewise, it stands to reason. فَكَذَلِكَ خَيْرُ النَّاسِ بَعْدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مَنْ يَتَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَعْلَّمَهُ. Then the best people after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if Qur'an is Kalamullah, which is the best speech, then the best people after Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam will be those who learned and taught the Qur'an. Obviously the caveat and the requirement, لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْإِخْلَاسِ. There has to be ikhlas, sincerity. Not trying to show off or get the wah-wah of people that mashallah, such a qari, so beautiful recitation, such knowledge he has of Quran, etc. That danger is always there. That pitfall is always there. So, obviously with the caveat that there is ikhlas and sincerity, we find many, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam support this, the superiority of qari al-Quran. And I mentioned this previously and obviously more detail we will go into inshallah. When we talk of Qari al-Quran in the context of Sahaba, it wasn't only reading Quran. They read and learnt and implemented and gave dawat simultaneously. Like I said, many, many ahadith, Rasulullah s.a.w. said, Man qara al-Quran, faqad istadraja an-nubuwwata bayna yaday. He said, that person who is Qari al-Quran, in other words, reads, recites, learns, implements, advocates, propagates the Qur'an, creates an attachment with the Qur'an, he has entered nubuwat. فَقَدْ إِسْتَدْرَجَ النُّبُوَّةَ فِي جَنْبِهِ. Istidraj, in other words, become part of his being. Nubuwat, what a high rank. There's nothing higher than being the Nabi of Allah. Obviously, he's not a Nabi. غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُوحَى عَلَيْهِ. Besides, except for the fact that wahi is not coming upon him. But after Anbiya, there is no one superior to this person. This is what these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mean and imply. Inshallah, we'll continue this morning.